Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, Eldorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
Right out the gate, I want to throw out an inflammatory racing opinion, and people can feel free to go ahead and crush me.
You said inflammatory race opinion?
Racing!
Ah, okay, cool.
Inflammatory car racing opinion.
I'm just here to protect you from yourself, that's all.
Thank you. Why is Dale Earnhardt Jr. going into the NASCAR Hall of Fame when he wasn't very good? Is my question.
What do you mean by not very good?
He never won a title.
He never won a title in, like, what do they call those?
I used to be the Winston Cup series, but I know that was, like, a really long time
ago. He never won a single title in his... He won once, right? He won an event.
He won an event. That's great. But I'm saying, he never won a championship. Why is he in the Hall of Fame?
Because Kevin, I've told you this many times, and
he's famous.
He is as famous as it gets when it comes to racing. Like there may be nobody in the entire racing industry that general fans would know more than Dale Earnhardt Jr. And most of them would probably confuse Dale Earnhardt Jr. with his dad anyway, just because they didn't know. But that name, everybody knows it. His dad was the Intimidator, so everybody knows that name. So Kevin, that's why. If he wasn't that good, that's fine. But sometimes you try to remind people of the popularity of the sport. And anytime he showed up, people paid attention because of the name. And so there you go. That's what I would think the reason would be. But I still can't believe he didn't finish. He never won a title. But I guess Jimmy Johnson was always winning the titles, right? Like, you can't win everything, dude.
Yeah, no, I don't need him to win everything. Just one time would have worked for me. But yeah, no, I mean, I knew he would make it to the Hall of Fame because, like, you know, he was popular for not ever winning anything. I just think it's really awesome if you could be popular and mediocre because your dad was actually good. That'd be sweet.
I think he was on Cribs a couple times, too. Okay. He's a team owner, you know. Kevin, his first win was in 1998 in Texas. It was the Coca-Cola 300.
Awesome.
His last win was 2016, the Toyota Care 250. He had 24 wins, 94 top tens, and 10 poles. And he also, his last race was the 2020 Hooters 250. So there you go. Bam.
Oh, sweet. And that led him to...
Oh, that was, hold on, crap, that was only in one group. There are different car series. In another car series, the NASCAR Cup Series, 260 top 10s and 26 wins and 15 poles.
I don't want to hear about all the bootleg minor league races that he won, okay? It's like that dude from Signs. Remember his little brother that was a loser, but he had the record for most home runs in the minor league? Nobody's putting that kid in the Baseball Hall of Fame. Come on.
He won the Quickens Loan Race for Heroes 500, and that was his last win in Phoenix, Kevin.
All right. Well, he never won any titles that mattered, and people can keep texting in all they like. That's fine.
Oh, are people furious about this right now?
Oh, yeah. The first thing I saw was, he wasn't very good, idiot. Sorry if I have a higher standard for the Hall of Fame than you. Because I care about racing, damn it.
Again, he was on Cribs.
Bro. All right, he was very famous. That's fair. I can't argue with that.
Can't get on Cribs if you're not famous.
Okay. We'll reevaluate that statement later. Now, for the things that are probably a little bit more serious, I wanted to give people like 4 minutes to enjoy some nonsense before we get to things that are a little bit more serious. So, UNLV is removing their Hey Reb statue. I did not know that that's what the statue was named and that there was an exclamation point in the name. And they're thinking about changing their mascot. And then for Texas A&M, is Kellen Mond, the quarterback, is looking to remove the statue of Lawrence Sullivan Ross, who is a former, he's a former president at A&M. Everybody knows the statue for Sully. Are we to the point?
Does everybody know that? Because I don't know much about it, Kevin.
Sorry.
You went to A&M.
The A&M people know that. Not everybody. Like, he's the Dale Earnhardt Jr. of statues.
Oh, what are
you
doing?
If you were there, you know him. Otherwise, nobody knows anything about it. Sorry. Just trying to make people smile so they don't think it's all crushing doom and gloom today. So, his is complicated because, and this is what I'm honestly trying to figure out, is how do you balance out, like, did he probably have at one point racially inflammatory opinions for the time? Yes, he did. But then did he also do a lot of good things for minorities, including help start Prairie View A&M? Yes, he also did that. So I don't really know what the proper balance is for this, and I don't know what their implications are if you don't, like, let's just say for the football team, like, where do you put the hierarchy of all of this? Kellen Mond is your quarterback. This is the third year that he's been your quarterback. I imagine he has plenty of people on the team that are in the Kellen Mond camp, and if you don't remove the statue, that's probably going to infuriate a whole lot of players and cause a whole lot of problems. But on the flip side, if you do take down the statue, what's that going to cause in terms of problems for the alumni base and everything like that? Because I know football is important, but some of those alumni, they're probably more important. So I'm not really sure how you balance all of this.
So in a document, Kevin, about Lawrence Sullivan Ross, it says General Ross, the gallant Texas N-word killer, made a descent upon two brigades of black Yankees at Snyder's Bluff on Wednesday the 30th, and then captured a bunch of them. And there's more to go along with that. And so I know you said opinions on things. I would say having that nickname probably stands out pretty strongly for people. And then on top of that, here's my question on this. Does Jimbo Fisher support this? Because he used Jimbo Fisher's name. He said this, and I think this is calling out his coach. The values of A&M do not align with racism, violence, slavery, and segregation, but Jimbo Fisher's most prominent saying will always stick with me. Your actions speak so loud I can't hear what you're saying. And so he said, I need to see action. And I think that's – I don't know if Jimbo Fisher's like, hey, go ahead and do this. Or if he said, you know what, I'm putting Jimbo Fisher's name in this. He gets to make the decision whether or not he wants to be involved. But it sounds like he put his name connected to it because he said, this is his saying. This is something that he says to us players all the time. So how is he going to act in a moment like this? And so I that's where I think that there might be a lot of pushback to him. And that's going to be, you know, Jimbo Fisher got hired by the alums.
Yeah.
And the alums, I've seen the Aggie lives matter too, or Aggie's traditions matter too signs go up. So. I'm very curious to see how that falls with the coach.
And I'm also curious, like, does he have that pull to overthrow the alumni? Like, Jimbo Fisher might be like 100% in favor of, like, taking it down, which then I want to know what happens to Sol Ross State, the school, after that. Like, I know that they don't dictate, that A&M doesn't dictate that decision, but I'm curious, like, do you change the name of an entire school? And, like, what if Jimbo Fisher is all about this? What if he's like, we do need to take the statue down, and powers that are more powerful than him are like, well, you need to shut up because it's not going to happen. I don't know.
And those powers, Kevin, those powers may have you know, players on that team too, you know, kids that are on that team. And I guess I'm really starting to get curious about how locker rooms are going to handle things. You know, cause there is a swell of feeling from one side right now. Right. And Kevin, you mentioned yesterday, and I'm getting attacked by a guy on Twitter for something you said, but it's okay. You mentioned yesterday, if you're on one side right now, it's the majority voice. And therefore, if you lean against it, you're on the wrong side of history in this. And that's the feeling. It's a generalized feeling, right? But there are voices still that are going to be holding that in or in that locker room? And how are they going to be whenever they're in a locker room with full of teammates that have a certain feeling? Are they going to say, you know what, I've learned a lot from my locker room, and now I'm ready to make a change? Or are they going to continue to have and harbor that inside, the things that they've learned and grown with?
I'm curious about that. I'm also curious, like, how many coaches or whoever look at it from strictly a transactional point of view. Like, let's say you're Mike Gundy. I don't know what's in Mike Gundy's heart. I'm just using him as an example, right? So let's say you're Mike Gundy and you're losing the locker room.
Right.
Do you view it from the perspective of maybe I was wrong, maybe I do need it to change, or do you view it from a more transactional point of view where you're like, I'm losing the locker room, so I might lose my job. So I need to change what I think so I can keep my job and I can keep my cushy lifestyle and I can keep X, Y, and Z. So, like, I'm sure plenty of people are like, I did change my mind or I whatever. But I also don't think 100% of people just magically change their mind when they talk to a couple of other people. I think a lot of people just view this from the perspective of, well, I would like to keep my job, or I would like to do this, or I would like to do that. Again, I'm not saying that's Mike Gundy. I'm just using him as my example. And I have no idea what Jimbo Fisher believes. Maybe he believes that everybody on his team should shut up and play football, but he's like, well, that's not going to help me keep the locker room. That's not going to help me win. That's not going to help me get another sweet-ass contract from A&M after this. So, yes, I also support this. I have no freaking clue.
I think in college, Kevin, more than anything in the world, those college coaches concern themselves, and I know winning is important with recruiting. So when it comes to the recruiting, when winning over a recruit, I think that they will say anything that they can to make their image look a certain way so they can get a player, and that there's no doubt about that. I mean, Bobby Bowden on, and Bobby Bowden said, hey, the first thing I do is try and get close with their mamas, because their mama is the most important person in their life. And then did he add to it, Kevin? He added to it, and most of the players that I was recruiting didn't have a father. And so I let their mom know.
It was like an inflammatory comment.
When their son came into my place, that I was going to be a father figure for them. I would help guide them. I would have coaches on my staff that would help guide them in that manner. But I wanted to get close to their mama, because that's what college coaches want, Kevin. So I think college coaches, as much as, like, they're politicians too, man. They are slimy as it can be. And not all of them are just out there trying to win a football game.
Yeah, no, I would definitely agree with that. I have, Corey, I got another card that I need you to go search for in your attic.
I found all the cards, Kevin. I'm out of box.
Oh,
like, that's it.
No.
My attic's empty right now.
Well, I was going to give you a heads up that there was a good chance you probably didn't have this card to begin with, because you would have had to spend an ungodly amount of money to get it from the jump. It is the LeBron James Gem Mint Exquisite Rookie Card. It is going up for auction. It is expected to reset the market for modern cards and sell for more than $1 million. So.
What?
Yeah. And this card is only 16 years old. When this set of Exquisite came out, Corey, I made one of the biggest financial mistakes of my life. I didn't have a ton of money at the time, but I was still riding high with some of that Blockbuster money. I had the opportunity to buy several packs of this. One pack of Exquisite cost $500. It came in a wooden box that was numbered, the pack. And so I think the pack had, I want to say, 6 cards, but it was in a wooden box and it cost $500. And I was like, well, that's stupid. Who's going to pay $500 for that? Huge mistake, Corey. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Within 2 months, those packs were selling for $3,000 a piece. Wow. I had the opportunity to buy a handful of them, and I was just like, this seems like a terrible idea. And this is where the LeBron James card comes out. It's LeBron James, numbered to 99, autograph, rookie patch that has, like, pieces of the, like, Cavs, the color from the Cavs logo or the letters on there. And it's a gem mint 9.5. It looks like it's going to sell for about $1 million.
Wow, that's Kevin, have you ever seen this type of flurry of big-time buys on cards in this manner?
It's insane.
In the history of cards.
I don't think so, and I think it's the quarantine. Everyone's sitting around, and Reggie brought it up. It's like some people have food therapy, some people have retail therapy. Man, retail therapy on the card level is going crazy. I saw somebody put $62,000 in cash down on the table to buy that Mike Trout card. I saw those two, that Brady and that Peyton Manning rookie cards that were worth more than $100,000. It's truly insane right now. And then, Corey, I got one more thing for you because I know you love the wrestling or the wrestling. Did I get it?
There you go.
Close.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see that WWE halted their testing, or excuse me, their tapings yesterday because one of their developmental talents tested positive for corona? And what they've been doing is they've been putting the developmental wrestlers out in the stands because watching wrestling with zero fans was freaking people out. And so they put developmental wrestlers out there and nobody had to wear masks because they were all 6 feet apart. And they were like, it's fine. And then one of their wrestlers tested positive for corona. And they were like, oh, well, this is less good. And so they went ahead and shut down. And they're actually going to test for corona now because word was they weren't actually testing people. They were just doing the temperature swipe across your head. And if you were good to go, they were like, that's fine.
Yeah, you're not hot. It's okay.
So now they were like, you know what? We should probably actually test for corona because this could be bad for us.
That is what NBA players and MLB players and all these other leagues are saying. We got to make sure that we trust the protocol to be correct and right. Otherwise, we're going to have some problems.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.